13th story, A Young Dreamer. Under the shade of a great oak tree was a young fellow, a 17, lying on the grass, thinking. He had had a dream the night before. It had touched his self-conceit. He was eager to tell it to someone and to see what it all meant. His brothers were nearby, and so he turned to them and said, "What do you think I dreamed last night? We were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves came round about and bowed down to my sheaf." Now his brothers hated the boy Joseph, for he was the petted and spoiled child of his father Jacob, Israel. He had been a telltale bearer too, and had told his father of some wrongdoing of the elder brothers. Jacob loved him more than all his boys, for he was the elder son of Rachel, and his mother, you remember, had died some time before. When the brothers heard his dream, they answered him with indignation and bitterness, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him for his words, even more than before. Joseph was a simple but an ambitious lad. He was foolish and boastful enough to tell them a second dream that he had dreamed. This time the sun and the moon and the stars all made obeisance to him. When his father heard it, even he was displeased and said, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" The brothers were very angry and envied him still more. They nicknamed him the Dreamer. But the father kept his dream in mind, wondering what it signified. One day a caravan had passed that way in which were all sorts of fine goods from the east, and Jacob had got a tunic of rich and beautiful colors for his favorite son. This long-sleeved garment was usually worn by nobles. It was suited for a boy who was to have an easy life and not one of hard work. The very sight of that coat made the elder boys more jealous and angry. Sometime after this, the fields round about Hebron began to grow brown and bare for lack of rain. The 10 sons of Jacob started out with the flocks to go some distance away for better pasture land. Jacob had remained in Hebron since the death of his father, Isaac. Now the sons went back to the old familiar land around Shechem. Joseph stayed with his father and Benjamin. Some weeks went by, and Jacob Israel began to be anxious about his sons and the flocks and to wonder how they were getting on. So he told Joseph to go and find out how they were and bring him word. He sent him out by the vale of Hebron along the road to Shechem. It was a long walk of some 50 miles. At last he reached the fields of Shechem, but as he wandered from one to another, he gained no sight of his brethren. A certain man, seeing he was in search of something, asked him what he was seeking, and he said, "I am seeking my brethren. Canst thou tell me where they are feeding the flocks?" And the man said, "They have left here. I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph traveled another 12 miles till he came near the plain of Esther-Elon. There he found them. His brothers saw him coming in the distance, and they said, "Here comes the dreamer." And they began to plot against him, saying, "Let us slay him and cast him into one of these pits. Then we can say an evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But the eldest brother said, "Let us not kill him. Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness." Here the word wilderness means a field or driving place for cattle. He said to himself, "I can rescue him from there and take him home to his father." So when Joseph came up, they took off his tunic, the coat of many colors, and cast him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Bottle-shaped cisterns or pits that are dry are still found in that district. They were used sometimes as hiding places, sometimes as prisons. Other Oriental stories show that it was quite usual to dispose of undesirable persons in that way. And to say that a wild beast had devoured Joseph would not be strange, for to this day wild beasts are to be found in certain parts of Canaan. Joseph cried out bitterly against his brother's cruelty. In later days they spoke with remorse of the anguish of Joseph's soul when he besought us and we would not hear. Now hard-hearted and cold-blooded, they sat down for their noonday meal. As they were resting on the grass, they saw in the distance a familiar sight coming along the highway, a caravan with camels bearing spicery, myrrh, and balm from Gilead, was on its way to Egypt. For centuries, caravans had passed on that road to and fro between Egypt and Gilead, and Egyptian and Assyrian armies had marched along that way. It is still traversed by many a tradesman and traveler. When Judah, an elder brother, saw the merchantman, he said, "What profit is it if we slay our brothers and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to these Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is of our own family." The brothers who were there agreed to this. Reuben, who had urged them not to slay him, had left the group for a while. They lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, about $12 to $15. When the elder brother came back, he went to the pit to look for Joseph, and lo, he was not there. Reuben rent or tore his outer garment, which was a sign of grief in that country. He turned to his brothers and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" They took Joseph's coat and dipped it in the blood of the he-goat which they had killed. Back they went to Hebron and brought the coat to Jacob, saying, "We found this coat. Thou wilt know whether or not it is thy son's coat." And Jacob knew it. He said at once, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Without doubt Joseph is torn in pieces." Then the poor father rent his clothes and put on sackcloth, which was another sign of mourning, and he mourned for his boy many days. His sons and his daughters tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and wept often for Joseph. And he said, "I will go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Sheol, to the Hebrews, was the meeting place for all who had lived here. They believed they would remain there after death in a shadowy, half-conscious state. There was no real life there as they thought of it. What had happened to Joseph while Jacob was thus mourning? The band of traders took him down to Egypt. There they sold him for a slave servant to Potiphar, who was the captain or chief of the royal butchers and belonged to the royal bodyguard. He was thus an officer of the king. Joseph may have had homesick days, but he started out bravely to do his master's bidding. All the little things that were given him to do, he did faithfully and well. His master began to notice what a good servant he was. He trusted him with more and more of his household affairs, until finally Joseph had the management of everything. Potiphar's wife was an attractive-looking woman, but wicked and shameless. When she saw this good-looking and courageous man going about the house, she admired him and tempted him to do evil. But he was a clean, manly fellow, and he refused to join in her schemes against his master. She resented his refusal, grew very angry, and accused him falsely to her husband. Potiphar believed his wife and was so angry that he cast Joseph into the state prison over which he had control. Sudden, indeed, were the changes that came to Joseph. First his father's favorite, then a slave, next an overseer in his master's house, and then a prisoner in a dungeon. Even then he did not lose hope, and as the days went by he gained the favor of the jailer. He made Joseph his assistant in the care of the prisoners, and found him a good helper. It so happened that about this time the king's chief butler and the king's chief baker offended the king and were put in prison. They were given into Joseph's charge. One night they each dreamed a dream. The ancients thought that dreams were very significant and full of meaning. Often they thought the gods spoke to them through dreams, and they were eager to have these interpreted. In the morning when Joseph came in to the butler and the baker, he saw they were troubled. He asked them why they were sad, and they said, "We have each dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret or explain our dreams for us." Then Joseph said, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell the dreams to me." The chief butler said, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. In the vine were three branches, and it budded, and its blossoms burst forth, and ripe grapes came in rich clusters. The king's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into the cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. The name Pharaoh meant king and was used as a title for Egyptian monarchs. In one of the writings of the olden time, there had been discovered, it is mentioned, that grapes squeezed into water made a refreshing beverage and was drunk by the king. This must have been something like our grape juice. Joseph thought of what had been told him and then said, "This is the interpretation of the dream. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days shall the king lift up thy head and restore thee to thine office, and thou shalt give Pharaoh's cup into his hand, as thou used to do when thou wast his butler. Remember me when thou art before the king, and tell him about me. Thou mayest bring me out of this house, for I was taken from the land of the Hebrews, and I did nothing to deserve imprisonment in a dungeon." When the chief baker heard the good interpretation of the butler's dream, he said to Joseph, "I dreamed that 3 baskets of white bread were on my head." Carrying on the head was an Egyptian custom. In the innermost basket there were all kinds of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket upon my head. Joseph said, "This is the interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days Pharaoh shall lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." Such destruction of the flesh would be a greater and more shameful punishment than we can understand, because the Egyptians believed that it was necessary to preserve the body for the immortality of the soul. This they tried to do by embalming it. Joseph was courageous in telling the hard truth to his fellow prisoner. The 3rd day from that time was the king's birthday, and he made a feast for all his servants. In Egypt, the birthday of the Pharaoh was celebrated by granting amnesty or pardon to certain prisoners. And so it came to pass that the chief butler was pardoned and restored to his place in the king's service. But the chief baker was hanged, as Joseph had foretold. The butler was so absorbed with all his good fortune that he ungratefully forgot all about the overseer in the prison, who had told him what he was anxious to know. And so Joseph was left in prison. Years after, it was said of him, "God sent before them a man. Sold for a slave was Joseph. They afflicted with fetters his feet. The iron entered into his soul." This is another way of saying that while these days were hard for Joseph, God was making him ready for a great work that he was to do. And as iron is hard and firm, so Joseph grew strong in his spirit.